if I rule the world.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Queen Series podcast, proudly sponsored by the Black Business and Professionals Association and presented by Melanin Queens Organics. Y'all, this is going to be another solo episode because I feel like I have so much more that I want to tell you. And this episode is really going to be a recap or an elaboration on some of the things that I talked about recently in my Instagram story. So if you follow me on my personal page, even though I don't post that much at Elaina Christine, I want to open up a little bit more and tell you more about my journey to becoming a successful millennial. And that is so funny that I say that because that is something that I've been manifesting in my life for a very long time. So for me to actually claim that success and recognize that success has taken a lot and it's been quite a journey to get here. But I wanted to talk a little bit about some of the things that I mentioned. So I mentioned maybe, what was it, like 6-7 things that I've practiced that I put into constant practice to get me to the point where I am in now. And I wanted to talk specifically about the 3 most important things that have jumped out at me and really have spoken to me throughout my journey and process. And I want to talk a little bit more about these things so that I can encourage you on your own journey and just give you some, you know, advice and tell you about what's worked for me, and hopefully it'll work for you as well. But before I do that, I want to say quickly thank you to everyone who continues to support all that I do. Thank you to everyone who continues to like and rate and share this podcast, who shares it with their family members, their friends, the people that need to hear it the most. I want to remind everyone that the purpose for me starting the Queen Series podcast was really to amplify and emphasize on trying to encourage and empower Black women, all women, because I think that it's so important for us to build this sense of community and talk to one another further about, you know, some of the things that we want to accomplish in life. And there's no reason why we can't talk to each other and build this community. So I'm doing the work to, one, provide that platform, and two, to talk really to you and build that sense of community. And also, if you haven't already, check us out at readthequeenseries.com. That is where I post regularly blog posts and submissions also from Black guest writers, women who are just killing it and writing things. If you want to contribute to that blog, please hit me up and hit up our team at contact@melaninqueens.com. So without further ado, I want to talk about how my week went last week. And it was actually a very trying week, to be honest, because there were a lot of medical things that I had to deal with, a lot of things that I was suffering in silence about, which, if you know about self-care and self-love, that is not indicative of self-care and self-love. If you want and you claim that you love yourself, you have to admit that some of the things that you're doing isn't conducive to the person that you want to become, which also comes into this idea of self-care. Now, self-care is a really trendy and awesome buzzword. However, you have to actually understand and dissect the true meaning of what self-care is in order for you to put that into practice. So in my certain situation, I got really sick. I was in the hospital. Yes, I was in the hospital. And, you know, you wouldn't have known otherwise unless I told you about it right now. And because that's, you know, generally that's how I am. But I'm learning now that if I say that I love myself, especially if I'm, you know, creating a platform surrounding this idea of self-love, I have to come clean and say some of the things that I've been doing health-wise aren't conducive or healthy in relation to the person that I want to build. It's just a moment for me to check myself. I'm feeling a lot better now, but that leads me to my first point that I put on and indicative of this level of being a successful person, and that is choosing yourself first. Always choose yourself first. Now, this is a really important one to understand. It doesn't mean necessarily that you're a selfish person. And I also want to break down this misconception of what selfishness is. Because what I find is that we misuse the word selfish, and it comes with a lot of negative connotations to mean that you don't want to be selfish. The antonym for selfish would be a selfless person, where you think of yourself in situations less. That's how I break that word down. And I got to tell you, that's not necessarily conducive to being your most authentic self and being the greatest self that you can be. Let's repurpose that word, actually. Let's understand selfishness in a way that is indicative of self-love and self-care. Selfish. You think of yourself not in the traditional sense in the narrative or definitions that we've associated with selfishness, but more so that you just understand that you have to put yourself in a better position. Choose yourself first. What does that look like in practice? Well, for me, it's saying no. I was the person before that would say yes to a lot of different things. In fact, I would say yes to things that I wouldn't necessarily want to do, but all in the name of this concept and idea of selflessness, I would say, okay, I'm going to do these things, but I don't really want to do it because I want to be there for that person. I want to be a selfless person. I want to think of myself less in this situation, even though it's not the best for me, and do it anyway. That is problematic. And again, going back to this idea of self-love, what does it mean to love yourself? To love yourself means that you want the very best for yourself, that you're dedicated and on a mission to being your most authentic self. So if you're doing things that are, you're thinking, oh, I'm just going to do this out of an act of selflessness and I'm not going to think about how this might affect me, you are totally doing yourself a really big injustice. So when you think about the things that you do and you think about, well, how might this impact me in a way? And if any of the time that you think about that and it comes to a result where you're just like, this isn't the best for me or I'm going to do it, sis, don't do it. Do not do it. Think of yourself first. Put yourself first. It's okay to say no. No is an absolute complete sentence that you don't need any explanation for. I've also started practicing this habit of when I say no for something, right? It's just no. You don't have to go further and explain what no means, sis. Like, if you say no for something, that's because you felt that it was necessary for you to say no. You don't have to defend that no. You don't have to elaborate on that no. You don't have to do anything. But a no is a no. And anytime you say no in situations, first you have to think, is this no conducive to self-love? Is this no gonna be better for me in the long run? And if it's yes, then that's what it is. And you don't have to go further and explain what a no means. No is a no. And you just say mentally, not even for the other person, that I choose me first and I don't want to put myself in this predicament. I don't want to have this conversation. I don't want to X, Y, and Z. I say no and you move on. So the first thing that has contributed to my success as a millennial is choosing me first. And to elaborate a little bit on that process, it wasn't easy for me to come to. Because like I mentioned, I was a little bit of a people pleaser. and again, a part of, you know, growing into yourself, you have to admit where you have shortcomings, right? You have to admit the times where you're thinking, okay, these are the habits that I'm doing and why am I doing them? For me, I wanted to be a people pleaser and I genuinely think because I wanted people to like me. I wanted people to like me. I didn't want people to be upset with me. I just wanted to be that person that was like, okay, I am good with everybody because I do things for everybody. But once again, in the name of self-love, I had to reevaluate that ideology and that way of thinking. And once I really thought about it, listen, E, you do a lot of things for other people. But at the end of the day, when everything is quiet, when you're in the hospital, when you're not feeling well, who are the people that you can turn around to and say, yes, this person is here for me. This person, I don't have to do anything for because they are here to serve. They are actual friends of mine. And it's reciprocated in a way where I don't feel overburdened with this idea of doing something for them. Ask yourself those questions. When everything goes to the wayside, when things are a little bit hectic and shaky, you need to be able to turn around and say, this person is here for me. This person is not here for me. The person that is here for you, you can do things for them in times of their need. That's okay because it's reciprocated, because it's coming out of a place of love. The person that is not there that you're trying to please it's one-sided, sis, and you have to let that energy go. You can't continue to do things for people who aren't there for you. You have to focus and put your energy on things that actually work. So coming all the way back, self-care is super, super important. And in circumstances, you have to choose you first. That's the only way. The second thing that has contributed to my success as a millennial comes from the book, The Four Agreements, A Practical Guide to Freedom. And this book is written by Don Miguel Ruiz, and he talks a lot about these four agreements that you can follow. And it's basically like a real guide to life. That's kind of the way I think about it. There's only four of them, so it's a really short read. And you can also find the PDF Cliff Notes version online as well. If you just Google the four agreements and then put PDF after it, it'll come up. But this one, I feel, is like a heavy hitter. This one has made all the difference in my life. And that is, don't take anything personally. Again, don't take anything personally. Sis, if I sat down and told you on this podcast, you're nothing and you'll never be anything. If that was my rhetoric, if that was my agenda, if that was my purpose, I'm using this platform to just talk down to you. The words that I'm telling you out of my mouth are only as strong as you make them. I can say whatever I want, and anybody can say whatever they want too, but it's all about the way that you receive the things that people tell you. And in this regard, in this life, don't take anything anybody says personally. And you don't want to do that because there are oftentimes people have a habit of projecting a lot of the things that they feel onto other people. I've had experiences with this time and time again, and it's not to say that, of course, it's don't take anything personally is a very simple thing, but because the brain goes through these processes that are a lot of the time stemming from our subconscious or stemming from traumas or patterns, habits, etc., it's really hard for us to understand and digest this concept of not taking things personally, because it's almost like a gut reaction for us to internalize things that people tell us, right? Overthink things. In conversations, we might feel like, okay, what did they mean by that? I'm not the person that they, etc., right? So let's break this down. Don't take anything personally. What does that mean? If you are in a situation where someone is trying to tell you who you are, don't take it personally. Because what happens is, they don't know you as a person, so this is their way of trying to figure you out and try to define you in a way that they think that you are as a person. Don't take that personally. If you are in an argument and somebody calls you something that is unfavorable to the person that you truly are or the person that you want to become, don't take that personally. Because what happens is, that person saying those things to you is just a projection of how they feel about themselves. If you listen in your heated moment, really turn on your brain in that moment. I know it's hard because when you're angry, there's a lot of emotions going on and you really can't think clearly, but listen to the things that the people that you're arguing with are saying. When somebody is throwing shade or calling you something during an argument, take a second to listen to the words that are coming out of their mouth. Listen to the things that they're saying. A lot of the times when people call you things, it's so left field that it doesn't make any sense. And it doesn't make any sense because it's really not meant for you. It doesn't make any sense because they feel that within themselves and they're trying to make you feel the way that they do about themselves. When people are angry, it reveals a lot about how they think. Not about you, girl. Not about you. Don't take it personally. Don't internalize and don't make it about you. But the things that people say when they're upset is usually a big indication of how they feel about themselves, whether it's their insecurity, whether it's their lack of just love for themselves, etc. Like, so you can learn a lot about somebody based on the way that they react in certain situations and the things that they say. But all that to say that you can't take any of those things personally. Again, this boils down to understanding and knowing yourself and the importance of knowing yourself as well. Because I've gotten to a point where you couldn't call me anything and I won't react to it because I know who I am as a person. And when you're confident, you understand who you are as a person, it's really, really difficult for somebody to try to define you or tell you who you are. honestly, you can call me any name in the book and I won't even blink twice. Because the way that I have learned to break things down is in such a way that it no longer penetrates the surface. The only narratives and messages that I accept from people are those of love and compassion and understanding for me. And vice versa. I do the same with them. Anything negative, anything unfavorable, it doesn't even hit anymore. Because it's like, I completely understand this rationale that people have, this idea that people, and these conclusions that people come to, where it's like, I'm just going to tell you all of the things that I feel. I'm just going to try to break you down in a way that makes you smaller than me for whatever reason. And there's not enough hours or time in the day for you to internalize any of that stuff. You really have to work to allow that to affect you. And you can't begin or continue to believe the narratives that people say, because at the end of the day, there's nobody that spends more time with you than you. There is nobody that should love you more than you, that roots for your happiness, that roots for understanding, that roots for the person that you want to become. There is nobody that can do that better than you. So when somebody tells you something that is not aligned with who you are, you just give them a side eye. Because at the end of the day, one, they probably don't even know you. And two, the information that they're spewing at you has nothing to do with you. I've been in this situation time and time and time and time and time again. And it's easier said than done. I understand that. Because sometimes when we have conversations with people that say unfavorable things about us, we hold them to a high regard. Sometimes it's the people that we love. But you can't allow yourself to love somebody else more than you love yourself. And the people that truly love you, I have to say, will never talk or say things to you that are unfavorable to who you are as a person. So let's wrap this one up. Don't ever take anything personally. I don't care if your grandmother said it. I don't care if your great uncle said it. I don't care. If they say something to you that isn't conducive or favorable to the person that you want to be in this world, let it go. Brush it off. Because there's nobody that knows and understands you better than you know and understand yourself. If somebody tells you something that is unfavorable to you and you don't know yourself, you make yourself and you leave yourself vulnerable to them defining who you are as a person. The burden of definition of who we are as people comes only from ourselves and not from anybody else. It is no one else's responsibility to define who you are as a person than you, sis. There is nobody that knows you better than you. So number two, don't take anything personally. And I highly recommend, again, that you look up this book, The Four Agreements, A Practical Guide to Freedom. Slap on PDF at the end of your Google search, and there are the four agreements summed up right for you. Now, this one is really important to me because it has gotten me into a lot of favorable positions. It has gotten me into the room with a lot of people, and it has helped me to strategize and prioritize what's important in my life and what can wait. Not that it's not as important, but what isn't going to put me in the position where I don't necessarily want to be in at the time. Okay, so this one is be particular, be picky with your time. Choose who you want to spend your time with and when. This one is one that I've had to learn the hard way, because in the past, I've been in situations where I've given too much of my time in areas that weren't benefiting me and not helping me be in the position that I wanted to go in. For example, I would really prioritize talking to my friends, or particularly my friends. And what would happen is that, good, I would give them all of this time and love and energy. But at the end of the call, or at the end of the meeting, at the end of the hangout, I would feel drained. Drained so much so that I wouldn't be able to get anything else done because I had given them all of my energy, all of the stuff that I've been holding on to that I could have been utilizing in other areas to make me more proficient and more successful. So as a successful millennial now, I have rethought this idea and concept of time, and I'm very particular about who I give my time to and what I give my time to, because time translates to and expenditure of my energy. And that is something that must be replenished, whether it's through sleep, whether it's through meditation. Our energy is finite. We don't have an unlimited resource of energy, and thus time is an indication that has the ability to absorb that energy. Time indicates how much energy we have left in the tank and how much time we need to invest into replenishing in order to get that energy back. This is something that you have to be particular with. You have to be particular with your time, because since our energy is finite, since there is a depletion that can happen with your energy, you have to decide, what am I going to put this emphasis and time into, and what is not that important right now for me to focus on? And my friend Amber, shout out to Amber, she's an incredible person, and I've never forgotten. She's told me this once, and I've never forgotten it. And I know I said this on an episode with Ama V when we talk about defining friendships. If you haven't listened to that episode, go back and listen to it. But I talk about this idea of a mental pie chart. And I want you to remember this also, because it has helped me. At the end of the day, you can make a pie chart, right? Make a mental pie chart. You can kind of picture how your energy was spent throughout the day. So if 50% of that pie chart was focused on something negative, or 50% was focused on something that wasn't conducive to the person that you want to be, your personal growth and your goals, then you have to figure out a way to re-strategize or think differently about how you're spending that time in that day so that it's more conducive to the person that you want to become. And that is a game changer, because that allows you to do two things. It allows you to, one, check yourself and make sure that your time is very well spent. And it also allows you to re-strategize, which is really important to trying to maneuver and become the person that you want to become. So being picky with your time is also indicative of self-care and self-love, because you are choosing now things that are conducive to your growth. You're choosing things that will put you in the positions that you want to be in. You're spending your time building yourself and really, really focusing and emphasizing on this idea of growth. Don't spend your time talking bad about somebody. Don't spend your energy talking bad about somebody or trying to defile or make yourself feel bigger than somebody else through negative talk. Don't try to make yourself feel bad or beat yourself about things that you've gone through by using negative self-talk. You have to be able to understand this concept of time, and don't just think about time as hours in the day. Truly start to think about your energy expenditure and what kind of energy you're putting into certain tasks. So if you're at a 9-to-5 job, and most of that 9-to-5 job, that's 8 hours of energy that you're spending. 8 hours of energy that you're spending on something negative. Think about how that impacts you in your personal life. You're awake for 16 hours in the day, minus the time that you're sleeping. 8 hours of that time is negative. If you're doing something that you don't like on a daily basis, think about how that adds up and think about how that translates to your personal life. Be picky with your time. And I wanted to emphasize this one because it's not just who you're spending time with, etc. It's also what kind of time you're spending on things. Be picky with your energy is another way to say this, another way to explain this. Don't invest your time in things that aren't going to uplift you. Don't invest your time in things that don't make you happy. Invest your time only in the things that are positive, only in the love, only in light, and only in the things that are going to help you get to the place that you want to be in life. Because at the end of the day, what you have to do is remember that you have a battery. And I wish that we could run off of just reserves, or I wish that we can keep going forever, but that's not the case. So with the time that you have, ask yourself, is there anything that I would rather be doing with my time that is more conducive to the person that I want to be? And if so, what changes can I make right now in its immediacy and its urgency so that I could become the person that I want to be? These are really important questions that you should ask yourself. And remember to create that mental pie chart at the end of the day. Divide up that pie based on how you spent your energy in that day to become a better person, to actually hit the goals that you want to hit. And I have to tell you, from personal experience, ever since I've adopted this ideology, ever since that I've changed my way of thinking about time as it relates to energy as it relates to negative and positive, I have found myself more productive. I have found myself in better positions. I've found myself spending times with people and things that are actually going to move myself forward in life. And I don't regret any of the decisions that I've made because I understand and I know that it's rooted in the love that I have for myself and also the goals and dreams and ambitions that I set for myself as well. I strongly encourage this. And don't worry about the people that don't understand why you're choosing yourself first. Don't worry about the people that are like, why you're not taking what they're saying personally or why you're so picky with your time. You know that expression, misery loves company? That is a very real expression. Some people might feel like you should and you owe them that time to spend with them, but understand that that is coming from their own old established narratives, negative narratives of what selfishness is. In our case, we're using selfishness in a way that is conducive and positive, but don't think that other people aren't there yet. Like, selfishness is still selfishness. And if people have the opportunity, given the opportunity to waste your time, they will. So remember to just be particular and picky with your time and only do and say things and spend time with people and energy and things that you love, that brings you light, and that is pushing you forward in life. We only have this time. So think, what am I going to do with my time on a daily basis? 24 hours in the day, I'm up for 16 hours, I work for 8 hours in the day. What am I going to do with the rest of the time that I have? Think about that. So the top three things that I wanted to emphasize. One, choose yourself first. Emphasize on the importance of self-care. Self-care is everything. Self-love is everything. Don't take anything personally because you know who you are and you cannot allow anybody to define who you are as a person. The last, be picky with your time. Choose your time wisely. Think of time in terms of energy. Think of it as a finite source. Think of it in terms of negative and positive. And think about where you can make changes in your life to also be better, to utilize your time a lot better. Now, I wanted to take a little moment to answer some of the questions that have derived from the things that I posted. And shout out to everybody who engaged with those things. You know, I really appreciate that and it gives me really great feedback. But I have a couple questions that I want to address because maybe you have the same questions as well. So the first one, how do you find the time for self-care? Sis, you have to make time for self-care. Don't be like me. Like last week, I had a really tough week and I was working too hard and I neglected self-care and I ended up in the hospital. Don't do that. Actually prioritize self-care. Like, it is an act, but it doesn't have to be an expensive act. And the only requirement of self-care is that you're doing something for yourself and you're consciously aware of that thing. So that can look like a lot of things. That can look like being picky with your time. That can look like spending time with people that you really genuinely love. You know, it could be something very simple. It doesn't have to be crazy. It doesn't have to be expensive. But self-care should also be in your day-to-day habits. It shouldn't just be a one-off thing. So remember that. That's how I find self-care. I do self-care because it's intertwined with the time that I utilize, if that makes sense. Like, it's not just I have to put time aside for self-care. It's in my daily habits and practices, I do self-care. But when I don't do self-care, it has very adverse effects. So I put self-care in the forefront of my mind. And you know what? Just let's stop here because, okay, I was in the hospital. But it's really interesting because I really think the universe tries to like slow me down and tell me to be better. Like, Elena, you're doing great, but you have to be better. And I'm like, all right, I hear you. Like, I heard you, you know? So I really appreciate the universe for that because despite the success that I've had as a young person, as a hard worker, I'm not perfect, right? And I admit that. That's part of me growing. It's just admitting that I'm not perfect and sometimes I backslide. So yeah, how do you find the time for self-care? My time is self-care. I do all of the things to make sure that I'm squeezing in self-care. I'm not perfect. Sometimes I mess up, but that is of the utmost importance to me. So I try to consistently maintain these habits of self-care. What's the first step to finding balance? Ooh, I think the first step to finding balance is to first look at the things that you don't feel balanced in. I would say that that would be the first step because you have to have an understanding of where you're going wrong so that you can figure out how to fix it moving forward. Yeah, so I would say that's the first step. First step to anything is admitting there's a problem. First step to not having balance, or first step to finding balance, is to, one, assess where you don't feel as much balance, and then see how you can fix that. Last question, how can I create my own podcast? What are the steps? Ooh, I love this. So if you haven't heard my last episode of the Queen Series podcast, I want to reiterate that I am starting a podcast network. So this network is going to be a collective of 30 different podcast programs that cover a wide array of different topics, from primarily women of color, Black women, and Indigenous women in the international context. I don't want to limit it to anywhere. So if you have a podcast idea, if you have an existing podcast, if you want to join this collective, if you want to talk further about it, hit me up at contact@melaninqueens.com or hit me up at elena@melaninqueens.com and we can talk a little bit about that. So those are kind of some of the things that I wanted to talk to you about this week. I really hope that you find it fruitful. I also want to do some intention setting while you're listening to this. You will have the utmost success in your day today. You will accomplish new heights. You will gain clarity in things that were foggy before. You will internalize all of the things that I told you and really start to apply them to your life. I am sending you an enormous amount of love and light on this end. And I hope that you receive it with a full open heart. All of the things that I said today are rooted in nothing but the most authentic and pure love that I can possibly give to anyone. So I really respect and appreciate you. I honor you. And I thank you for listening to this episode of the Queen Series podcast. If you like this episode, rate us 5 stars on iTunes. It means the most. And also follow us on Instagram at the Queen Series podcast. Check our blog out at readthequeenseries.com. And I want to leave you with this. Queens run the world.
I free all my sons. I love them, baby.